Francois. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Traveling with Francois. I'm Francois Rhodes, your host. And I say welcome back because we've already been on an hour. The show starts about 11:05, and we cover all the local events here in the Coachella Valley and the surrounding area. And now we shift into travel mode. Joining us in the boardroom, because he can't leave once he's here, he has to stay, is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I know. I'm not even going to say that the hour flew by.
I feel the same way. It's like every week it's the same thing.
I don't know what's the deal, but that's a good thing for us because that means we keep the show on track and we keep it going. This hour of the show, well, like I said, we are going to talk about travel, but we're not going far from home. I have been up to the Mount Palomar Observatory, did a Traveling with Francois episode on the area up there, and I have been to several observatories, big ones, but we are lucky enough to have one right here in the Coachella Valley, which is incredible. And so we're going to talk about that is the observatory at the Rancho Mirage Public Library. And joining us will be Eric McLaughlin. So I'm really looking forward to it. I was really impressed with that observatory over there and how they just want to give back to the community is what it's all about. Because sometimes astronomers and stuff, you know, they are very into what they do, and they love the public, but only from a distance because they're so intent on what they are doing. So Eric is going to be a lot of fun to talk to. We want to welcome A1 Custom Golf Cars to the show. Be the first in your neighbor or country club to have the new lithium battery system. It is the future, the way of the future, and they do have 3 valley locations to serve you. A1 Custom Golf Cars. And remember, visit all of our sponsors on the website, travelingwithfrancois.com. I went to Borrego Springs this past week to talk about Borrego Days Desert Festival. We talked about that in the first hour. The Borrego Springs Resort is open. They're doing great over there, and they are gearing up for the new season as well. The golf course will be closing soon for scalping, and it will open all green and beautiful, but lots of things going on at the Borrego Springs Golf Resort and Spa, so definitely make that your go-to place when you are going to Borrego Springs. I'd make your reservations now, by the way, for the festival that happens October 20th and 21st, and like I said earlier, we have 5 bands. We have an air parade. We have to call it a parade because if you talk it, an air show is completely different from an air parade. And this air parade is going to last about 30 minutes.
So what is an air parade?
It is where planes, helicopters fly over the parade route.
Okay.
And low enough, you need to turn your mic up just a hair. Yeah. And low enough to where, I mean, low.
Low enough to make it enjoyable.
Yeah.
But not too scary.
But that they can actually see you waving and you see them. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty low.
Yeah. So it's really a lot of fun. So a lot of things happening out there. It's going to be a ton of fun. So don't miss it. Put that on your calendar. Again, like I said, this hour of the show, we'll be talking about travel news and the observatory. We do have some tram passes to give away. We'll do that in just a little bit. We want to congratulate Gina, who won a car wash at Grand Prix Auto Detail over at the Costco Center in Palm Desert. So congratulations to her. And again, what else do we have? Let me see. Oh, yesterday I was on KESQ and I talked about the observatory. I thought, let's keep it at home today. Let's keep it right here at home. Here's something that, as a traveler, I am not so sure that I would be flocking for this because I have a very sensitive sense of smell. And visitors are flocking to the Huntington Library in Southern California to get a whiff of the so-called corpse flower, known for the rotten stench it releases when it blooms.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, we hear about it. It's on the news. The nickname is Stink. Began blooming unexpectedly on Thursday night. It will only bloom for just, I think, 24 hours or so. They have 4 other flowers there like that. It takes 15 years to reach a mature blooming size, and blooms usually only last about 24 hours.
Wow.
I don't know. I think maybe that is one trip I could probably pass on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. The flower's probably beautiful, but I would be worried.
If it smells bad, it has to be beautiful.
Yeah, but just think, once you get that smell in your nose, it's almost like a skunk.
Yeah, and then you can't get it out.
You can't get it out for a while. So, however, though, if you're interested, folks, in seeing the corpse flower, the Huntington Library in San Marino, California, they have it. So just check their schedule. They can't tell you exactly what it's going to bloom. Like I say, this one bloomed a little earlier than what they thought. But if you go, take a picture Send it to me. And I'll post it on Facebook. How's that? All right. And we also had a really nice email from a new listener. It says, hello, Philip here, writing from Coachella, California. I have really enjoyed listening to the radio show over the past few weeks. I'm a new listener. It was great to be able to meet you at Coffee with a Cop last week in Palm Springs. I'm a Facebook follower as well and have enjoyed reading everything you post. Great travel ideas. He also said, I'm writing in response to this week's Facebook travel question. And I've said this before, Sean, we talk about this all the time. There are questions that people grab.
Right.
Like the one before last week, where we must have had 25 responses or more on that one. And then there's others which just completely go right over our fans' heads, yeah. Right over. And this one was one of them. I did not hit the mark on this question because I was thinking of space shuttles and observatories and all that kind of stuff when I came up with the question. I said space travel is more of a reality than we know. In fact, travelers are already reserving seats on flights into space. Is this something you're interested in doing, yes or no, and why? Okay.
Right.
I think I would.
Yeah, I think it'd be fine.
Yeah, I think I would do it. I wouldn't pay $90,000 for a ride up into space.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I would hopefully.
But that's only because I don't have the $90,000. If I had the $90,000, would I pay that?
Exactly, because there was a waiting list for people with that kind of money
right.
to go into space. But I do think, again, as it becomes a little bit more normal and competition comes into play, that then other companies, the price will have to drop. Yeah, so maybe then. I don't know. But obviously, not a lot of people that we know are interested in space travel. Why? I have no idea. So Philip here was the only response that I saw, which I went, okay, well, I won't ask that question again. But Philip went on to say, yes, I've always been intrigued by the sky, space, always looking up, wondering what's beyond the clouds. How would it be to live on the moon? Star Wars was a big influence, and then Halo on Xbox. Now we have SpaceX and Donald Trump's Space Force. As a child growing up in the 90s in La Quinta at the top of the cove, a friend's dad named Edward Patton would teach us about constellations like the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, Orion's Belt, the North Star. He was an army guy. Because the La Quinta Cove had no street lights, this made stars very visible. We would hang out in front of the yard with this huge telescope looking at stars and the moon. One time we swear we saw witches flying around the moon. It was crazy. I'll never forget it. I miss and love those days, and when our idea of fun was laying down on the driveway looking up at the stars. Rest in peace, Edward Eddie Patton. And this is from Philip. What a great response.
That is good.
That is so good. Philip, thank you so much for that. I'm glad that you had some intrigue in space. The rest of you, I don't know what the problem is.
And you know what? I lived in the cove for a while, and you can see the night sky. It's very pretty up there.
Very pretty. But I wonder if it still is. I wonder if there's, because there's a lot more homes there now.
Yeah. Yeah. I was up fairly high.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't getting as much from, you know, the main streets, but
that light, the
it
light.
Was nice.
All right. Well, Philip, you are entered in our contest to win. I forgot what I'm giving away, but I'm giving away something of all of our travel questions on Facebook. I put them all together, and about once a month we draw a winner, and somebody will win a prize out of all the answers. But this really is a great answer, and thank you for listening. Welcome to the Traveling with Francoise fold. We're thrilled to have you with us. And remember, you can always call the show, 760-440-8255. So on that note, I think we will go to break, and when we come back, we will talk about some industry news. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. All right, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. Be proactive, not reactive. Call the Braille Institute today at 760-321-1111 and take advantage of all their free programs, great programs out there. All right, this was in the news today. Mexico's president-elect wants to bring tourism revenues to remote and forgotten stretches of Mexico, but some people are scratching their heads at his main proposal to build a $3.2 billion train that would run from the resorts of Cancun to the Mayan ruins some 520 miles away across the Yucatan Peninsula. This reminds me of the bullet train that they're going to have here from L.A. to Las Vegas, which, frankly, I think is a good idea.
I think all of them are a good idea.
Yeah, I love train travel, and I think this one here, the challenges, though, are a little bit more difficult than the bullet train, though. They say the route is dotted by low jungle, wildlife preserves, pre-Hispanic archaeological sites, wetlands, and underground rivers that can suddenly cave in.
Yeah, yeah. Don't want that.
A little bit of a challenge there for this railway, yeah. They say it would reach the ruin sites that only right now get about 35,000 visitors a year. And instead of some of the better known sites like Chichen Itza, that they have that in a week. So maybe, you know, I see what he's trying to do, but I also see the challenges that would go along with this. And, oh, can you imagine insuring something like that?
No.
Yeah, if the rivers can just eat the railways out. So I don't know. Maybe they ought to rethink where the train goes and maybe take it to a little bit more popular tourist destination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And start with that, maybe.
Yeah. But I do like the idea. I don't know. And it seems like a train that runs from L.A. down to El Centro would actually be very popular and stops right here in Palm Springs.
Yeah. And it would bring a lot of traffic out here to the desert from, you know, from L.A.
From L.A. And especially,
they like to come out here and just hang out for a weekend and get away.
And leave and not want to have to drive and during festivals and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. But the way the railroads are situated and who owns them, that's where the problem is, because it's the freight trains that actually own Pacific Railroad and they lease them out to Amtrak and whatnot. So there's some issues there. There's always some issues, but it is a good idea. Maybe one of these days it will happen. All right, in other travel industry news, cities across the U.S. and right here in the Coachella Valley, because I've heard this over and over in the last few years, have been focusing on the Asian market, spending millions of dollars on enticing Asian travelers here. Well, it might not turn out to be as fruitful as they thought. Since the tariffs were imposed, Chinese inbound travel has dropped. Flight data analyzer Forward Key says group travel has taken the biggest hit since March 23rd. However, bookings have fallen 8.4% and are falling further as new tariffs are considered. The company also said that the negative impact on the Chinese currency, which is down 7.5% against the dollar since the tariffs were introduced, and warnings from Beijing about the U.S. being a travel security risk have contributed to the decrease. So I didn't know that the U.S. was a travel security list. I didn't see that on the list anywhere. Said forward bookings from China to the U.S. for the rest of 2018 are down 9.6%, while Chinese bookings to the rest of the world are up 5%. For example, Chinese bookings to Canada were up 4.8% through the end of July and are currently up 8% for August to December. And like I said, I have been hearing this from agents and local CBBs and actually throughout the United States, spending millions of dollars to market the United States to the Asian travelers. Now, we will see. In fact, even home buyers, they were forecasting there would be more Asian buyers here in the Coachella Valley and around, because we have a lot that they like. The weather at a certain time of the year, the shopping, the dining, right, the gambling, all of it right here in a very concentrated area.
Oh, yeah.
So interesting to see how this all pans out. Okay, resorts put a creative focus on kids. The programming involves educational components that help young travelers learn about the unique environment and the culture of the destinations. That's on one side of the program. On the other side of the program, though, Viking River Cruises has quietly become an adults-only line. On the terms and conditions page on Viking's site, the updated adults-only policy states that due to the nature of our cruise and travel itineraries, the carrier does not maintain facilities or services on our trips for individuals under the age of 18 years old. And they're not the only one to do it, though. There are other cruise lines as well that have become adult-only cruises. So interesting. You got to check on that before you book, especially if you want to take kids. But on the flip side, I understand it because not everything is going to be fun for kids.
Right.
And when it's not fun for kids, it's not fun for adults.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So you do have to think as a parent. I see this, and I'm not saying it's bad, but you see it in places like Las Vegas and New Orleans and whatnot. They take kids to areas where there's drinking and gambling and all that stuff because the parents really just want to get away.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're desperate to get away, so they bring the kids. And I understand it, but it's not always a good environment for children.
Well, I know I took Jasmine somewhere yesterday, and she was the only child there.
And what was it? Can you say? Or
it was just like an event, but yeah, there was people hanging out and having a good time, but it wasn't necessarily bad. But you know,
yeah, but you didn't realize it when you took her, did you?
No, I did, but
oh, you did.
But I figured she's with me, and
yeah,
she's
and you wanted to go.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. I made her go with me.
Well, I'm glad you went though. At least you went, so that's a good thing. But yeah, so I understand why some of these companies are doing this. Designate certain trips that are adults only and then have the others for families. But in some cases, the river cruises, they're completely different. I mean, it's very – the boats are not like a gigantic mega ship with all these areas for children. And this. I mean, it's just not set up that way. It's completely different. So, all right. So there you go. Viking River Cruises quietly becomes adult-only line. All right, Oceania's R-class ships are getting a major renovation. The cabins will be stripped down to their studs and dry docks that will start with the insignia this December. Lindblad National Geographic Partnership expanded. Their marketing agreement now covers Canada and Latin America in addition to the U.S., Australia, and New Zealand. So definitely lots of changes out there in the world of travel. Russia is generating much interest and increased U.S. bookings. River cruise lines and tour operators are reporting robust demand for Russia itineraries, bolstered in part by the success of this summer's World Cup tournament. So, Russia, I've been to Russia a couple times. Very interesting. Gypsies are a little scary over there, but once you get by that, don't ever give anyone money when you are in Russia. Do not give a gypsy money. Don't even look like you're going to give them any money, because if you do, you will be mobbed by 1,000 of them afterwards.
Same thing happens in Mexico when you buy gum.
Yeah, there you go. And it's a little scary.
Yeah.
It's daunting, especially if they're not just little tiny kids, that they're bigger kids. Yeah, and adults. So just be careful when you're out there on who. I know you might feel sorry for them.
That's the point, though. That's what they're looking for.
Right, exactly. That's what they're looking for. And if they're that aggressive, just really be careful of what you do. Don't do that. All right, Royal Caribbean International will tongue twisters today. Royal Caribbean International will no longer allow guests to bring aboard emotional support animals. Touchy subject. I'm seeing more and more signs now at grocery stores and restaurants. No more emotional support animals. There is a big difference between service animals and support animals. All right. The policy change, effective immediately, was made to deficionary. How do you say that?
I know what you're trying to say. I don't know how to say it.
Differentiate. Emotional support animals from service animals that are trained and certified to perform a function for a person with a disability. It is important to all of us at Royal Caribbean that all of our guests enjoy their vacation, which is why we put the practice into this policy. We're doing this. Neither Carnival Cruise Line nor Norwegian Cruise Line allow emotional support animals. Both accept service animals but require 2 weeks advance notice. Now, I see it all the time. I stay at places where no pets are allowed.
Right.
And you see people sneaking in pets all the time. And I understand your love for your pet, but what it does is, for people like me with allergies, when I go into that room after you and the housekeeping does not know that pets were in there, because they do a completely different type of clean when pets have been there. They just do. It's completely different because of the dander and the hair and all that sort of stuff. Right away, I start having allergy, and it's not fair to me paying the same price as you for a room that's with no pets, and you brought your pets in. There's a lot of places now that cater to guests with their pets, because it is so huge. So many people travel with their pets, and that's wonderful, but you have to show respect to the other guests as well. All right, spurred on by pilot shortage that has already plagued many regional airlines, legacy U.S. carriers United, American, and Delta each have announced plans to begin pilot career path programs. These are designed to help alleviate with the immense cost of becoming a pilot, up to $200,000, and the flight hours, the logging time. So they are coming up with plans to get more pilots into the system. Again, that's United, American, and Delta. So definitely if you've thought of becoming a pilot, now might be the time to do it. So with all those programs out there. All right, and I want to talk briefly, because I talked about it in the first hour, I wanted to tell you about it in this hour too, because we could use this as a road trip. You could go for a couple days, go for the day. It is the Julian Grape Stomp Festa happening in Julian, which is up above Borrego Springs, right here between the Coachella Valley and San Diego. It is on September 1st. Looks like it's going to be a ton of fun. You're going to be able to stomp grapes in a vat. Drink some wine, listen to music. There's a kids' theme going on as well, stuff for the kids to do. Have a Roman holiday, play bocce ball, just dance and have some fun. And again, this happens on September 1st, and it will be at the Menghini Winery, and that is in Julian at the Julian Orchards Drive. So just look up Julian Grape Stomp Festa. I will get this on the website as well, and it just, like I say, it sounds like a lot of fun to me. And frankly, I don't even drink wine. I don't. I drink a little champagne. I do like champagne. It's not that I don't like wine. It just doesn't really seem to set well with me, especially red wines.
If I drink, I normally drink liquor. But I'll mix it with something.
Yeah.
Like, I can't drink beer. I've never drank wine. Champagne, I just go for the apple cider.
No, I'm not an apple cider. No, thank you. But
it's too sweet, but I don't want the champagne.
Gosh, no, I like the champagne. That's what I like about sweetness. And I do like a rosé. I do like wines that are kind of sweet, and white wine. So remember that, folks. If you ever want to bring me a bottle of wine, just whatever you want is fine. All right, on that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, Eric McLaughlin, the astronomer at the Rancho Mirage Public Library's observatory, will be joining us. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. Well, if you recall last week, on last week's show, I was saying that I went to the Rancho Mirage Observatory on a hot, humid day, excessive heat. I was going for the 5 o'clock tour, and I thought, I am going to be the only person there. There were 14 other people there that day. I was shocked. I was blown away, but I was so pleasantly surprised that I couldn't wait to have our next guest on, Eric McLaughlin, join us. He is the astronomer over there at the observatory at the Rancho Mirage Public Library, on the show to talk about the observatory and everything going on there. So, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, first, let's talk about you as an astronomer. Mm-hmm. How does that work out in life? I mean, I think that would be a dream job for someone who is into astronomy. How did that go about becoming your profession?
So it came about because I was always interested in space science and astronomy. And for a while, I thought I would be more in a supporting role. So I actually studied engineering, but couldn't keep myself away from the basic science of it. So I eventually returned to grad school for actually just straight astronomy, and then found myself here back where I used to be, and really love being back in the desert.
So as an astronomer, is that being your career choice here? That is your job. That is what you do. What, describe your job.
So my job is, well, for this particular job, it's mainly focused on the public outreach side. So I'm here to be a face for astronomy and actually be a way of helping people connect to the science and the study of the universe and just the awe and wonder that's associated with it.
Yeah, and there is a lot of awe and wonder. I mean, I just stand there. My mind is boggled. I can't even think of the universe. I can't comprehend it. I don't want to. It gets me all upset because I don't understand it. Do you have any understanding of the universe out there? Because to me, there's just no everything has a beginning and an end, and I just can't wrap my head around. There is no beginning or end, it seems, to that.
Oh, well, to fully wrap one's head around it, no. And in the grand scheme of things, to say I have an understanding of it, if anyone claims they have an understanding of the universe, they are missing something, because there's so much there that the only answer should be that we don't understand the vast majority of the universe. We are really just out to try and explore what little we can.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Now I don't feel like thank you. Okay, let's talk about the Rancho Mirage Observatory. I was pleasantly surprised, and you have had overwhelming positive response from the observatory.
Yes.
Tell us, that for those that have never been to the Rancho Mirage Observatory, it is free, folks. It's open to the public. Describe what they're going to see when they go there.
So depending on what event they're going to, they might see a variety of different things. We give lecture series and documentaries and other events as well, where we'll spend most of our time in the community room, which is a big presentation room. But we will also go out to the observatory afterwards many times to take a look through the main telescope at, say, one of the planets or distant objects in space. Mm-hmm. But our main thing we are really trying to get going very well is our stargazing events, where mm-hmm. we actually take people out onto the deck. They look through one of four different telescopes we have set up at a variety of different objects, and we point out constellations and such. And then we spend a bit of the evening actually looking through the main telescope as well at, again, deep space objects. We discuss them and learn as much as we can about them.
And I found really interesting, because the other people that were there with me when I was taking the tour, and you give free tours twice a day at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Correct.
And you have all these stargazing events, and folks, you need to sign up for them online quickly, because you fill up. You only have a certain amount of space there on
yes.
the platform for the stargazing. But I found out that there was people there that knew a little bit about it, and there were a lot of people that really actually knew nothing about astronomy. That must make you feel really good to get those people that just have a little curiosity but have never been to see an observatory, a telescope like you have over there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. One of the great things, and why it was such a great idea that the city decided to build an observatory especially, is because there are a lot of people like that who don't know much about astronomy, and even more so, just don't know much in the way of science in general. And astronomy is often thought of as a gateway into the sciences. So it's a great way to actually just bring people in, because astronomy literally encompasses everything. We look at the entirety of the universe, from the absolute full scale of it down to the most minute subatomic particles. All of that is encompassed there. So it's a worthwhile thing to bring people in that way.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And folks, we're talking to Eric McLaughlin. He is the astronomer at the Rancho Mirage Observatory, right there on the grounds of the Rancho Mirage Public Library. And it's all about, you couldn't stress enough during the tour, that it's to give back to the public, give back to the public. Mm-hmm. You really want the public. This is a community endeavor, and you want the public to embrace it, which they are. And not just locally in Rancho Mirage. You're getting visitors from all over, and you're getting accolades already. When did the observatory open?
The observatory officially opened on March 25th, and we had a dedication ceremony that was attended by about 900 people.
Oh, you know, and I was out of town that day. I felt really bad, so I'm glad maybe I was okay that I missed that one. But did you, and that's this year.
Yes.
This year, and the overwhelming support. Did Rancho Mirage think that this would happen?
I honestly can't say whether or not they thought it would happen nearly as much as it did. They were very excited about it, and the leadership and the library itself was excited, but the community support has definitely been more than we had expected in many ways, especially when it comes to the stargazing events. People can't sign up fast enough for them. Yeah. And so we're even trying to expand availability and make those even more available there.
Wow. And you already have had mentions, some of the accolades that the observatory has received. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so we've gotten a lot of interesting notes of people who have wanted to talk about the observatory, including we were in Westways magazine. Pretty quickly, they sent someone over to actually talk with me about it, and we were in an issue in July. And we've also were named California's best new tourist attraction in MSN's list of best tourist attractions, or best new tourist attractions for 2018, doing one per state. So. Wow.
That's incredible. Now, I know when we talk about stargazing happens at night, the tours happen during the day. My question was that when we think of stargazing, we think of lights, city lights. There's a lot of city lights here in Rancho mm-hmm. Mirage. How do you combat that? Does that have any effect on when people are doing the stargazing events?
The light pollution is a bit unfortunate, but consider ourselves as one link in a big chain of education, even specifically in astronomy. We are a great entry point. We are easily accessible. We are, again, right off the Highway 111, and we can get anyone into our facility. We've specifically designed it to be accessible. After that point, the places that are a little bit more remote that have perhaps better skies are then more appealing because we give people a taste of what's out there. And so we can point out quite a bit, but there's always more to see, and that is true no matter what telescope you go to. Even if you are a researcher working mm-hmm. at the largest telescopes in the world, there is more to see than what we can look at right now. And so it's just
all right, well,
one link in a chain.
For us beginners, it looks like a ton of stuff, so don't worry about it. I think you need to open up a little store right next to it for all the kids that are going to want telescopes after seeing that. And you do welcome kids and families, and you welcome everybody. You're just so welcoming over there at the observatory. I personally think for real little kids, they're not going to really understand what's going on. That's my look at it. I think teenagers and stuff are going to go crazy about it, but you do welcome everybody of all ages to come to the events. Mm-hmm. And you also can rent out. There's a space that brilliantly that the designer made so that you can have some stargazing parties and stuff. They're private parties.
Yes. Yeah, we have a big deck on the observatory that's really built for stargazing. It blocks out a lot of the ground light and such. We haven't quite gotten the policies in place for the private rentals yet, mm-hmm. but we are working towards that end because we want people to potentially have events there. The big balance is making sure the place is always available to the public
to
as
the public.
Much as possible. So
right.
we're working on that balance right now.
And that is the goal. You just wait. There's going to be a wedding there before you know it.
We've already had people interested.
I knew it. I knew it. Okay. So now when you're inside the observatory dome, there's a small dome which actually houses the restroom. I'll just mm-hmm. tell you that right now, folks. And then you have the observatory dome where the telescope is. Mm-hmm. Not only do people get to go in the room with the telescope, but before they do, tell my listeners about what you talk about in the sort of the workstation area.
Oh, yeah. Down in the workstation, what is called the Cosmic Office, we have a variety of different computer setups there. The main one for controlling the main telescope is two parts. We have the main computer that controls the telescope. It's got a lot of manual controls, as well as a phenomenal suite of automation software that allows mm-hmm. us to pre-program what the telescope does all throughout an evening. And what makes it so we can do that is actually the other computer in there that controls our weather station, which provides the safety to be able to close the dome down in the event of foul weather or anything like that. So
you have an on-site weather station as well. Mm-hmm. Do you report to anybody about the weather? Does anybody get weather reports from you guys, or it's just for you?
So it's primarily for the facility, but we are linked into Weather Underground, so our data is shared to help weather forecasting in general.
Okay. And we are prone for earthquakes mm-hmm. here in California. And you were explaining why earthquakes really won't have any effect on the observatory home itself.
Correct.
Why is that?
That's because the telescope itself, in general, even without regarding earthquakes, it needs a very good solid foundation. And the foundation of the telescope is a giant block of 122,000 pounds of concrete and rebar. And it goes all the way down 20 feet into the ground to give a good, just stable foundation for the telescope. And so it's far in excess of any earthquake standards here in California, so the telescope is incredibly safe. I don't know whether or not I haven't looked at all the structures here in the valley, but it's probably among the safest blocks of concrete here in the Coachella Valley.
Okay, well, I hope I'm stargazing over there if we have a big earthquake. So, and as far as the magnet, I know I'm not even saying right, the strength of the telescope, for mm-hmm. those out there who know a little bit about astronomy and a little bit about telescope strength, what is the strength of that telescope?
So it depends on which way you're looking through the telescope. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the eyepieces we have for it, looking through the telescope yourself, we can have relatively, well, sounds like a high power, but relatively low for that telescope is 100 times power, but we can take it over 300 times magnification. Wow. But the camera side has a plate scale that's about what would be about a quarter of a degree window, quarter of a degree on each side, 15 arc minutes is what they're referring to. That's.
Okay, I'll just act like I understand, folks, but no. It's fascinating. I just love it. I think you've done such a great job over there. So once again, tell everyone, when is availability? When can they go see it? Tell us a little bit about the tours.
Right, so the tours, again, they're at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. They're about 40 minutes to an hour long, and we go and we talk about the facility, a lot of the different features and such for that. We point out, again, some of the things we're talking about here, but we also show how the telescope moves and how the dome moves and everything. Then we also have our event series. We are having a talk next Thursday at 7 p.m. We're going to be talking about red dwarf stars and whether or not they would be potential places where you might have a good home for a habitable planet around them. It's a very interesting thing. I won't spoil anything.
Okay, though. don't give it all away.
But yeah, often again after those events, we do go out to the
stargazing,
to the dome, and take a look through the main telescope.
Okay.
Then we also have our stargazing events. But we are hoping to make those stargazing events that require registration. We're trying to find a way to phase that out. So hopefully, here in the next couple months, we'll be working towards an end to make things a lot more available. So. We're always changing things, so you have to keep an eye on the website and reach back out again. I'd be happy to tell you how we've changed things.
All right. Well, we'd love to have you on anytime you want to come on. And remember that the tours are free.
Mm-hmm.
The lectures are free.
Yep.
And are the stargazing events free as well?
Absolutely.
Everything is free, folks. You cannot beat it. You need to go to the website, which would be Rancho Mirage. Is it Rancho Mirage Library? /observatory. What is
RanchoMirageLibrary.org?
Oh, there we go.
And the observatory is on that main page.
Okay.
So if you want to find out information on the observatory, you can go there. But the events are all through the library page.
Okay.
So yeah, just RanchoMirageLibrary.org.
All right, and sign up, folks. I already signed up, so I get the information when it comes out about your events. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I get them soon enough where I can tell you about them on the air. If not, again, RanchoMirageLibrary.org/observatory. It's right there. You can't miss it. Eric, thank you so much. Congratulations on your new marriage. Your wife is right here.
That
we heard about that you took a couple weeks off. Have you been here for a full season? No, you haven't been here for a full season yet.
Not yet, but not yet working. But again, I lived out here when I was younger, so it's good to be back.
Yeah.
I know what to expect.
You know what? It's going to be a busy, busy season.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. Good luck. This season's going to be phenomenal, and great job, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you
for having me.
You are more than welcome. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I'm Françoise Rhodes, your host. So, all right, the Rancho Mirage Observatory, free. Everything is free over there. They just want to cater to the public. I certainly hope you take advantage of it and go. And what they do is you meet in the lobby right there by the observatory. You'll see a walkway there. And there's some glass doors, and because it's hot outside, they don't want people standing outside. You just go in there and sit before the tour comes up, and someone will come over at either 10 o'clock or 5 o'clock and say, is everybody here for the tour? And everyone goes, yes, and you follow them out there. It starts there. They talk a little bit about it outside, and then they take you over to the observatory. So, again, the website, though, is RanchoMirageLibrary.org/observatory. Great, great step. Okay. Oh, we do have the tram passes to give away. Sorry about that. I always get sidetracked. We have passes for two to the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. It's about a $50 value. Give us a call. You cannot have one in the last 30 days. 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. And I will mail these out to you. So you want to go. And they're good for probably four months or so. They do have an expiration date, but you'll have plenty of time to use them. So again, give us a call. Lines are open. Palm Springs Aerial Tramway, 760-440-8255. All right, whale watching. Don't forget, if you want to go whale watching or sports fishing, Dana Wharf whale watching. DanaWharf.com is a website, but they've been doing this family-owned and operated. The company, their family, did start whale watching over here on the West Coast. Yes, it was Donna's family that started all that. So definitely, if you want to do that, check it out. ACT has a tour coming up next year to Mount Rushmore. In fact, he forgot to put the dates on the flyer. It was kind of funny. I was telling some friends about it and posting it on Facebook, and they said, but we don't know what day it is. So it is in May. I think it's May 4 through 7. But this is an incredible Mount Rushmore trip. I'm really trying to figure out how I can go. It is from Palm Springs. It is only $9.95. I'd love to do a show about this on television, a television episode about it. So it is $9.95. Historic sites of Rapid City, South Dakota, Black Hills and Crazy Horse Mountain, Monument. It's just such a good, it's like the Nashville trip where we went and we just streamlined everything. And I've never been to Mount Rushmore, but I've read about it. And they said the eyes, there's actually tunnels in the eyes, so the workers can go through the eyes to clean the statues and maybe or the monuments there, or fix the heads, whatever needs to be fixed. They go out of the ice, so to go farther down. Anyway, it's very fascinating. So again, that trip is May 4th through 7th, 2019, as $9.95 from Palm Springs, which is very cool in itself right there. And you're going to you're going to be doing a lot of things in those days that you will be going. So go to ACT-tours.com. That's ACT-tours.com for more information. Give them a call over at the office, and Linda and Tina are happy to help you at 760-322-1247. All right, don't forget Borrego Springs Resort and Spa. Make your reservations now for Borrego Days. You can give them a call at 760-767-5700. They have the golf course. They have the Serenity Spa. They have the bicycles, wedding packages, all sorts of stuff going on over there. So, again, check it out. Make your reservations. And I hope to see you out there for Borrego Days. Let's see. ACT also has another trip coming up to Spain. Amazing Spain and Tangier, Morocco. This is $29.95. Includes airfare. Madrid, Barcelona. Oh, gosh, all these places. And this trip is a 10-day trip happening in March, March 24th through April 2nd. So ACT is on a roll. They have a ton of stuff going on. They're in their new office. So definitely go to the website, and all our sponsors' info is on the Traveling with Francois website. So there you go. Oh, it looks like we have a winner for the tram passes. I was so busy talking that I didn't notice Sean waving at me over there. So we do have a winner. Sean, who is that?
You have Pamela.
Okay.
In Desert Hot Springs.
Okay. Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Just driving home from work, listening to your show, and I said, hey, I haven't been to the tram in a couple of years.
Well, I am so glad that you called. Congratulations. Have you been to the Rancho Mirage Observatory yet?
I haven't, and I just heard all that segment, and I went, oh, my gosh. I'm going, where is this? Where is this? And then I heard Rancho Mirage Library, so I will make sure to see that, too. I love observatories.
Yeah, I mean, I was really, like I said, I've been to some of the big ones, and they do a phenomenal job over there. I was just as impressed with that one that I was at any gigantic one I've seen, so definitely go on over there. Well, Pamela, congratulations. Okay. You won passes to the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, and stay on the line and make sure that Sean has your info. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Bye. Okay, folks, there you go. Now, next week, we'll be off the air. Well, we won't be off the air. I'll be replaying a past show. I'm not sure which one yet. I haven't decided. But I will be gone. I'll be filming a new episode of Traveling with Francois. I'll be out in Ramona, actually. And I have such an itinerary. It blows me away, all the things that I'm going to be doing and seeing. Equestrian wineries, these beautiful parks they have out there in Ramona. Huge, vast areas, along with downtown Main Street, the history park of it, the new part of it. I mean, just everything going on. So we will be off the air, the live part of it, but we will have a show taking our place, and we'll be back on September 2nd with an all new live show. So I want to thank everybody today. Congratulations to our winners, Gina and Pamela. I want to thank Eric for joining us. Thank Kim Laidlaw. Sean, always great to have you back there taking care of everything and keeping us on the air. So until next time, everyone, have a great one. And don't forget the TV show on Thursdays, Traveling with Francois, Fox 11 at noon. And as always, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.